You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
There are two things I love in this world. One is America. The other is listening to the ToneMob.com podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the ToneMob.com podcast, the show about guitar tone and people behind it. As you know, I'm Blake Weiland, and with me today, I have Tom Kogut of Tomcat Pedals. How's it going, man?
It's good. It's good.
Right on. So, usually start these things off with the how was your day question. It's really in-depth, hard-hitting stuff.
Okay, that's a big one.
Yeah, I know. It's serious.
Well, today was good. I woke up and it was like kind of cold and rainy here, but I got to take care of some stuff that I had to take care of. And then I mailed out some stuff, and then I made some nice dinner for my girlfriend and I.
Oh, very nice. What are we eating this evening?
Today I had I have this like really nice fish market that opened up not too long ago down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got some nice locally caught pollock, and then I baked it in this like paper, like parchment paper bag thing with some like herbs and some juices, and just had that with some salad. It was pretty good.
That sounds really good right now. Yeah. I'm kind of hungry, and that really that sounds amazing.
Yeah, for rainy days, I usually kind of go for fish.
That could be why I ate clam chowder today.
Oh, there you go.
I had some homemade clam chowder, and it really hit the spot. And yes, it's cold and rainy here also. So,
well, it's Portland, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's pretty much par for the course. We've gotten spoiled up until about a month ago, and then we got our normal grossness back. So
yeah, I was going to say, like, we've had, I think, like, yesterday, in the past, like, 2 weeks, it's been, like, 55 every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be that way until, like, Christmas, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, aren't you normally looking at something, like, in the 30s?
Yeah, 30s would be, like, usually warm for this time of year.
Right.
So it's really crazy that it's this warm right now.
We're talking New York City for those not in the know.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
New York.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, I guess we can dive right into the music-related stuff. And
okay.
I'll go with before, you know, otherwise I'm going to talk about food for the whole podcast.
Like, yeah,
I've actually,
right?
I've actually done that kind of before. I went on a tangent about...
Like, you can get that one out of the way, right? That podcast?
Yeah, I should have started a food podcast, and then we would have talked about guitar tone and pedals.
Yeah, and just switch the names.
Exactly. That's a good idea. I'm gonna have to look into this. How many podcasts can I start? Anyway. So we talked briefly about your musical backstory before, off the air, so to speak. But why don't you tell people how you got started and how that translated into you making guitar pedals? Because if I recall correctly, you told me you were a drummer primarily.
Yeah. Yeah. I still am primarily a drummer. And that was like the first instrument I started with when I was like 9, I think. So that was quite some time ago. And then I think my first band was a Blink-182 cover band.
Of course.
Like a lot of people, you know, mm-hmm. from that time period. And then, yeah, I think I played like in a band since I was like 14. And when I was in high school, I had like this group of friends that were all really into like different music. Like I was really into all the bands on like Load Records. And like I think it's like, is it 31G that has like the Locust and stuff?
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, it is.
So I was really into like Gabe Serbian and like Justin Pearson and all that stuff.
Right. I think Justin Pearson runs that label, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
And so me and my buddies all really like that sort of thing and like the whole idea of like communally making as many bands as you can. So I did that for like a long time. And then one of my closest buddies that I grew up with playing music, he plays guitar in that band Deer Tick.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love that band.
Yeah, me too. So we like, I don't know, I've always been like making gear for him for a while.
Gotcha.
And but that didn't necessarily translate into like making guitar pedals. Because I went to art school with Ian.
Mm-hmm.
And like when we were almost done with art school, he dropped out and did Deer Tick full time. And then I ended up finishing, but in my last year of art school, I took like all these cool like interactive sculpture classes and stuff. And I met all these really cool artists, and that got me more into like exploring electronics further. And then that's kind of how I learned like how to do like circuit board design and stuff, was from that sort of work. Because out of college, I became like an assistant for a few different public artists that do interactive installation work.
Okay, so, I'm not really like familiar with what that. I'm kind of a square, I guess. I'm not really familiar with.
Oh,
what
no, that's
means.
All right. Not many people do. So, interactive art just being that, like, whatever space it's in, whatever the art is, it interacts with you somehow. So, I worked for this one artist who did this installation, which took up a whole wall of this like college campus building.
Okay.
And so what he did was he made this wall entirely out of like these little LCD screens that if they were on, they were clear. And if they were off, they were white.
Interesting.
So these little LCD screens were in the shape of circles, and they were about like 4 inches big. And I think he had like 4,000 or 5,000 of them.
Whoa.
On this big wall. So it pretty much makes like a really big low resolution screen. And like it was interactive where it would be displaying these low res images of like drops of water. So it was like these pixely drops, but so like I said, when the pixels were on, they were clear, and behind them was mirror. So it was outside, and when the pixels were on, you would see like the sky. So it's kind of like interacting with the sky.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really like really crazy and like in depth, and no one had ever like done that before. And this guy worked on this project for like 5 years, and I was just like really fortunate to have any sort of part in it. But what I ended up doing was like soldering, like, I don't know, like 50% of like the final project.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was like a year of just soldering like 3 of the same thing.
Just like, oh yeah, because there were so many. It was just back to back, just
yeah,
chaining
so
things
crazy
together.
It's so crazy, like working on a project like that where, since it was public art, it had to be like inspected and like certified by like all these different organizations.
Of course.
And then you learn that all that's just based around like how much money they want to charge you for stupid like pointless stuff, like just to get like a tape, like a ceiling piece of tape that has someone's logo on it.
Yeah, that's
would, like,
that's
end up
our
costing,
government
like, yeah, it's like 30 grand for just a piece of tape.
Right. Well, that sounds about right. That's how our government operates.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I worked on that project for a few years, and that guy was super nice, and he taught me a lot, not only about like circuit design and stuff, but also about the programming environment Arduino.
Oh, okay.
Which is like, you know, basic intro to microcontrollers and like making things work by themselves.
Right. That's a something I'd heard of, but wasn't sure what it was. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of pedal builders and stuff use Arduino for certain things. Like, it's really an easy way to implement relay switching into a pedal.
Oh, okay.
So instead of having the super clicky true bypass stomp, you have like the soft momentary switch.
Right.
That triggers a relay.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think Matthew Farrow uses it a lot in his like MIDI controller setups and stuff.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I learned that, and that led me to like my second job where, I was like the number two on a huge project that was it was a public art installation for a credit card processing headquarters in like the middle of Indiana somewhere used to be this huge soybean field, and they made it like their like call center headquarters. And it was this brand new building, and they had like this 50-foot high ceiling lobby, and they wanted like a sculpture for it. And my friend that I was working for at the time, he had made like these really nice like bronze like sculptures that were like super detailed, like that you would see at a museum or something.
Okay.
And so the guy from this company was like, oh, we want one of those, but of a lady answering a phone. And we were like, but wait, you have this 50-foot like huge ass lobby and you want this tiny little like bronze sculpture? So he came up with the idea that like we could make this really cool like hanging chandelierish like sculpture and make it interact with the building, because the building had like 7 or 8 main entrances, and to get in and out of the building you had to swipe a card.
Okay.
And that would open the door. So we had the idea to hack into that program, and anytime someone swiped to open a door, it would trigger like LEDs to light up in the sculpture.
Dude, and that's cool.
So, yeah, so it would be like the, I guess we described it as like the pulse of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And so, long story short, it took like 3 years longer than it was supposed to. And at the time, I had gotten really into like making my own guitar pedals and all this stuff. And so I ended up having to like bail out of the project. But it was like one of the best decisions I ever made, because I like joined another band full time and like dove like head on into making guitar pedals. So
cool.
Yeah. And that project ended up getting done. It just took like another couple of years.
That's crazy. Did you ever get back to go see it?
No, I did. I actually had a kind of a falling out with that artist guy, but we did like get back on good terms, and he sent me some really cool videos of it. I'll send them to you after this.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love to see that. That sounds fascinating. That's way, way beyond my brain power to conceptualize something like that.
It sounds really cool. It was really hard to figure out how to do, but it was also a really rewarding thing.
It sounds like a really interesting, like, well, and I guess it sort of makes sense why going from that to guitar pedals to some degree, but it's a really interesting combination of like, you know, art in, you know, we kind of tend to think of art as separate from technical, but that
Like
not at all. They're like one and the same in that aspect. That's really cool.
I know. And this was like, I started that project like five or 6 years ago. So it was like, back then, like, even if you think about the iPhone, like, 6 years ago, it was totally different. Like,
oh, yeah.
It wasn't nearly as technical as it is now.
Totally different.
And so trying to explain that sort of, like, project and technology to, like, people who are like, oh, what do you do? It was like, really difficult. By the time I was done, like, explaining after, like, 5 sentences, people are like, all right, I don't get it.
Yeah, that's hard for someone totally out of it to conceptualize, I would think, especially back then.
Yeah. And then it was even like the project took so long that like we were first going to use this like one kind of LED that was programmable, and then like halfway through the project, they made those LEDs obsolete.
Oh, of course.
So then I like we had to like reformat the whole project for like a new batch of LEDs. Yeah.
Of course.
But so after that, I joined the band Cerebral Palsy, where I replaced their old drummer who had enough of touring and stuff.
Gotcha.
And that was also a really cool thing because I got to like right off the bat, we did like a whole summer of European shows and stuff. And then like my first show with the band was like opening up for Refused.
Yeah, like a sold out show
in New York City. Language.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
I
so
mean,
cool.
It was like I was like having practice with one of the guys and he was like, oh, I just got an email from Refused. They want us to open their show at Terminal 5.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you kidding me? Like that doesn't happen. You know,
that's so nuts. That's so cool.
Like this band is not only like reuniting, but they want us to open. Like what the hell?
That's so cool. Like I listened to The Shape of Punk to Come like a lot, you know, back in the day. Like who didn't though? I mean,
yeah,
everyone
definitely.
Did. That's so cool.
Such a huge like fanboy moment there. And I remember like when we played that show, I got to like meet the dudes and they were like, oh my God, we're so excited that you're here. And I was like, what? No, shut up. Like, I can't believe I'm talking to you right now. And then like, the drummer David like gave me all his like old drumsticks. He was like, here, you can like probably use these.
And I was sweet.
Like, what? Yeah.
That's nuts. Wow. That's a pretty good way to start off your time with a band. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And it was just really cool to like play all these huge festivals in Europe and stuff where it's really easy to just like go up on stage and like see a band's setup and like how they do stuff and all their gear and whatnot, you know?
Right. Right. So,
I was a lucky boy, I guess.
Yeah. No kidding. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, I've been around a few drummers. Most of them do not care about guitar pedals. So, how did that kind of develop with you?
Well, it was like I had friends that would like ask me to make them guitar pedals, and I'm one of those kids who like will like the technology behind something like way more than the actual thing a lot of times. Like I went to art school for photography, and after about like a month of school, I was like, oh man, I really don't like photography, but I really, really like all this new like digital technology behind it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that's like why I started exploring like the technological like things that I could at school. But I just really like, I don't know, like pedals can like open up a whole like world of just like creativity and like fun. And like I do like play some guitar and I play like some other instruments and stuff. And for me it's just like I always think like, oh, like what could make this sound like cooler, or what will this be like with this and stuff. And like some of like the older like fuzz pedals that I modeled some of my pedals after, like when I first heard those, I was like, oh man, that's like the coolest sound in the world. Like I want to make something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, I don't know, my own curiosities of making like really messed up sounding stuff and like sharing that with other people that made me get into guitar pedals.
So did you start off with like a kit of some sort, or did you just, how did you get, what was the first pedal you made?
I think the first pedal I made was like a rat clone for Ian from Deer Tick. And he actually like still uses it.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think I even like researched and was like, oh, I have to get this new old stock, like 308 chip, and got that on eBay. And it was like $6 just for one or something. You know, I was like obsessed with like the new old stock thing, like from the beginning.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Now this is a little bit of a side note, but if I recall correctly, I think it was I think it was Ryan from Fuzzrocious. I think I seen a post that he put up somewhere, or he texted me. I can't really remember, but something about the 308s can't get them anymore. Like, he just bought up like the last stock that he knew of or something.
Oh, really?
Is that, do you know anything about that?
I don't know. Probably. I also know that like a lot of people in China will just like rebrand stuff, you know, because it's so easy to just like, you know, manufacture a chip with like whatever number you want on it.
Of course.
But that might, I mean, that could be true.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was him who, I don't know. I was just like, really? I thought the 308 was like, there was like an endless supply.
No. Like, I even back in the day, I remember like when I was first like trying to figure out like the DigiKey website where you order parts from.
Right.
And being like, why can't I find this like, this chip on here? And then I was like, oh, I got to go to like the second supplier of parts to pedal people, which is eBay.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. So you started with a rat, and was this one of those things? So you made one from...
I made a rat, and it was from... I went to the website Tagboard Effects, which is like a really easy, here's how to make your first guitar pedal website.
Okay.
And yeah, and it worked, and I was like super psyched on it. And I think like that night, Ian had a show somewhere nearby, and I like gave it to him, and he was like super psyched on it.
Nice.
And then after that, I was like, this is really cool.
This is really cool. I got to just say, this is totally just like, because I could ask all kinds of deer tick questions, but like my band, when we practice and we regularly play like The Bump and a few other select deer tick songs. So I'm a fan. I can't wait for them to come back to Portland. So. Just putting it out there. If they happen to be listening, come on back to Portland for me.
Yeah, it's been really cool to like not only like, because I also have other friends that do like small business stuff, and like also have other friends in other bands. And mm-hmm. It's cool to just see how like, you know, people go in all these different directions, and like we can still like cross paths here and there. And like I was really like psyched to see Deer Tick's progress as a band, you know?
For sure.
Because when we first started, me and Ian first started playing together, like Deer Tick was a band that like we would go and like either play shows with or like just go and see.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really cool to see, I guess, us grow up as like not, we're not adults, I guess, but as adults now. You know what I'm saying?
Pretending to be adults or not even or something.
I mean, it's like I don't know. Yeah.
I think
it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying.
I'm proud of all my friends.
There you go. Hey, that's a nice thing to say. I'm sure all my friends are wonderful.
I'm sure in the next year Deer Tick will be in Portland.
I'm hoping so. They now, correct me if I'm wrong, you may know. Oh, we're turning this into the Deer Tick podcast. Anyway, they recorded their last album in Portland, if I remember correctly. Is that correct? Do you know?
The Negativity one?
Yeah. I thought I read that somewhere. And then I Googled the studio, and the studio had like no information. So I don't know if that was just internet farce or what that was. So
I have no idea, but I know a lot of times they'll record at like their friend's studios a lot.
Okay, so gotcha.
Maybe it was one of those dealios, you know?
I see. All right. So let's talk about your pedals.
Okay.
Let's get into that a little bit more for people who may or may not know. What was your first like Tomcat branded pedal?
Well, actually, in last year, like March of last year, I had like come back from like a good solid 2 years of touring, where I had spent all my time on the road, like trying to develop like cool pedal ideas and stuff, and like work out kinks of certain things, and like get really good at circuit board design. And I came back and I was like, oh man, like back from touring, I have no money. I have to get back into like my whole groove of working like 8 jobs and like delivering pizza and making pizza and all this stuff. And like my girlfriend was like, hey, you should like like, screw all that. Like, just try and do, like, pedals full time, because that's, like, what you're really into right now. And it'll probably, like, work out if you just try it. And so right. What I did was, I was like, that's a stupid idea. Yeah. I love you and everything, but that's stupid. So I did it, and I, like, got all this stuff together and, like, did a Kickstarter, and it did really well. And so after that, I was like, all right, so I got to make these things. So I made three fuzzes to begin with, and I still sell them now. But the first three that I made as Tomcat pedals were the Killer, which is, like, based on the Sam Ash Fuzztainer, which is kind of like a rare Sam Ash fuzz. I think it was mostly sold as, like, a do-it-yourself fuzz kit.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, yeah. Which is really cool. And then it was like the 70s version of, like, General Guitar Gadgets or something.
Nice.
And then I made another one, which is called the Ripper, which is my version of the Ibanez Standard Fuzz, which is kind of like a super fuzz, but it's kind of like wonkier and nastier. And then I made the Bender, which is like my Tone Bender version.
Nice.
Yeah, so I made those three, and they, like, did okay. And then I, like, took some of the Kickstarter money and, like, did a Pro Guitar Shop demo thing. And then after that, it, like, just kind of, like, grew on its own, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that's where I first seen your stuff, was that Pro Guitar Shop demo. I'm pretty sure that's probably most people's initial exposure, I'm imagining.
Yeah, I used to, like, get in trouble at a lot of the jobs I worked at, because I would just watch Pro Guitar Shop demos all day.
I don't know anybody that fits that description. Surely not. Nobody that listens to this podcast can even relate to that at all.
It's like, you know, it's bad when, like, your friends get used to, like, Andy from Pro Guitar Shop's voice.
I think my wife might be used to that too.
That's, yeah,
this is a bad sign. Oh man, like, it's kind of funny because, like, she's like, has no interest at all, but she's like, oh, Andy again. I'm like,
same thing here. Well, my girlfriend plays guitar, like, and she's really good and everything. Mm-hmm. And she ends up actually stealing my pedals to, like, use them for, you know, the stuff that she does, which is nice. Cool and everything, but yeah, she'll be, like, listening to the Pro Guitar Shop in the background, and sometimes, occasionally, like, I'll play one, and she'll be like, oh, that's really cool, we should get that.
Oh, well, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
Nice. So you've mentioned a couple times, like, you're really interested in circuit board design.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, very evident in your pedals, because I love your gut shots. You've got some of my favorites. I like, it's very, now, and this is another thing, like, talking to you about it and connecting all the dots, it's like, okay, he's really into art, and he's really into electronics and technology, and if you open up the inside of one of your pedals, all those dots connect, and it is very obvious now that, you know, knowing you're a little more about you.
Yeah, so. I guess it's like the pedals are a good reflection of me, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Thanks, man. I mean, it's like, yeah, I really like, I don't know, I just really wanted to, like, make something that was really, like, a complete thing. Like, I have a lot of respect for all the people that make pedals and, like, will make custom pedals and just put them in a regular enclosure and everything. And that's cool. I do that too for my friends sometimes. But I was like, all right, I'm going to make a brand. I'm going to make my own thing. I can do whatever the hell I want. So I'm going to, like, just make this, like, as cool as I can for, like, me. Like, what I would think is, like, the coolest pedal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I got, like, these special enclosures, like, ordered for me from the cool, really nice people at Pedal Parts Plus. And they're, like, not as big as, like, you know, the 1590 BB enclosure?
Right.
It's, like, not as wide as that and not as tall. like lengthwise, but it's like really fat and it like stands up taller than the rest of them. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to get my buddy Liam's artwork to like make him look really cool.
Right.
And so he's a tattooer in London, and he like gave me a bunch of designs and was like, yeah, you can do what you want with them.
Nice.
Yeah. And then
they look great. That's all I was going to say. Blanket statement.
And then like I get them laser etched on because I was like, that's a really cool like sculptural thing that I could add to this.
I don't think I realized that they were etched. Interesting. Very cool. Yeah.
I should just send you one because you could. It would make this a whole lot cooler if you're like, oh yeah, that's so cool.
I'm not gonna argue. I'm not gonna argue with that at all. I don't like pedals, so never mind. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't send me.
You only have like three. So
yeah, I only have three.
I'd be doing you a favor.
Yeah. I really need some, especially fuzz. I'm really lacking in the fuzz department. Yeah. I have none of those.
That's what my friends have told me.
Nice.
But yeah, so I like when I was getting into circuit board design, I really liked like anything that Jack DeVille did or worked on.
Oh yeah.
Because he's super OCD about how his components look and like using really high end components and just making sure everything's like looks good, but is also like functioning in like the most efficient way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So after like seeing some of his crazy stuff, like there's a layout like he did for his pedal, the Mod Zero, which is like
right
through zero flanger. And I was like, oh my God, this is like the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I would have never thought that this would be possible, but Jack did it, so I can do it.
Right.
So yeah, I just sort of like took that approach to all of my circuit designs. I was like, all right, I'm going to make this really cool board shape, and then I'm going to try and get all my stuff to fit in it and work properly.
Right.
And sometimes it takes like, you know, 2 weeks, but it happens.
So I'm starting to like see some parallel. I don't know. I don't know anything about circuit design or anything like that. I'm just a player, but some of my favorite like looking boards, when I open them up, they generally seem to be like the nicer looking the board is, like as far as layout goes, it seems to be a quieter pedal. I don't know if that's just coincidence or I'm just wanting it to be that way in my brain and it's not really that way, but it just seems like when everything's neat and tidy and you can tell it's well thought out, that it seems to have a lot less noise. And I don't know if that's has anything to do with layout or if that is just because of the circuit design on some of these ones I'm thinking of. I'm not really sure, but I didn't know.
I think it could have, you know, an impact on, especially if everything's like thought out really well, like where you put what, it can be, you know, it can sound better and like cleaner, quieter and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's just like the sort of, you know, how much time someone puts into it. It does kind of like show in the sound, maybe. I don't want to like, you know, talk bad on anybody.
Right. Come on, rip on somebody. Tell them that they're terrible at their...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, everyone that you've talked to, I'm just going to pick them all out and say nasty things about them.
It'd make for an interesting listen, I'm sure.
Yeah. We could change the whole theme of your show here.
This is the Rip on Other Builders podcast. Yeah. Talk about how crappy all their stuff is.
Yeah, and stuff.
They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
No, it was just the part of the reason I asked was I never thought, other than, hey, that circuit board looks nice, I didn't think about layout affecting, you know, how the pedal works until I heard Brian Wampler mention it on one of his podcast episodes. He mentioned it probably more than once, but he's like, oh yeah, I build this breadboard, this prototype, and it sounds great, and then I get the actual, you know,
oh, yeah,
prototype built with the exact same circuit, and it sounds terrible because the layout's all wrong. I'm like,
yeah.
I had no idea that was even. I just thought I didn't think about layout at all other than from an aesthetic standpoint. So that's fascinating to me.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Especially with certain kind of pedals. Like I know that like some digital processing pedals, like because a lot of people now use the Spin FV1 mm-hmm. chip, which is like a lot of easy. Well, I shouldn't say easy because it's still hard, but a lot of like intro to making cool sounds and stuff with pedals, and more advanced stuff too. Depending on how you place those components, you can make the pedal sound like crap or good.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean it's like little nuancy things like how far away you put your crystal and all that other stuff, and like what kind of capacitors you use for your power filtering and all this stuff. There's so many like nuances that people can get into arguments about and that are in like message boards and all that stuff.
Are you on the internet?
And I read them all.
Of course, of course. Oh, wait, people, are you on the internet?
Yeah, it's weird.
This is news to me. I thought it was a place full of love and joy.
No, you should stay out of it.
Oh yeah, I guess it's a little late for that. Actually, I don't know if it's because I'm not really in many forums that often, but like my main focus as far as anything I do on the internet is my website and podcasts and then Instagram. I am in other places. But just not very active. And yeah. I don't get a lot of negativity, and I like that. I mean, like, it's not very often that I even get negative comments about particular things I post. Like, I don't like that guitar or whatever, or I played that pedal and it was garbage. I don't even see that very often, and I'm totally shocked and amazed. Yeah,
you gotta go digging for it, I guess.
I don't want to find it. I just thought it would happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Depends a lot on the message board, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I was on the gear page a lot, and not to, like, rip on that place, because there's a lot of cool people on there, but
yeah,
there seemed to be a little bit more negativity than I need to deal with at times on there.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, when I was growing up, I guess I still hate Pitchfork, but I don't understand why so many people like would base so much of their like influence on music on what Pitchfork has to say.
Right.
it's like for all I know, like this is some like 18-year-old kid who was told to go see this band last week, and now he's saying that everybody should listen to it. So I always like took message boards and like, you know, people talking crap, like always took it like super lightly. So.
That's definitely for the best, because it could just be some, like you say, some 18-year-old kid who doesn't really know what he's talking about.
Yeah, or you know, some kid, like, you know, doesn't have access to some pedal, so it's the worst thing in the world.
Right. that one's no good. That one sucks, yeah. Because I can't play it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give me artist pricing on it.
Yeah, totally, you know? I wonder how many people like hate me because I wouldn't give them free pedals.
Okay, so here we go. I've talked about this too much, but I'm going to talk about it more anyway. That is a consistent like running thing with any builder I talk to, pedals, guitars, amps, it doesn't matter. Like everyone seems to get hit up for free gear or discounted gear, and I'm like, from people who don't have any business requesting free gear or discounted gear. It just like, I can't wrap my mind around that entitlement, I guess. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think it's because like maybe some people, well, first of all, you know, I think a lot of people think like, well, what's the harm in asking, you know, like they'll say no, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
But like, maybe like some bigger companies can like maybe give stuff away if you like, they think, I don't know. Maybe like they've gotten away with it before and they're like, all right, I'm going to try it as many times as I can.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It just bothers me. It bothers me that someone would think that way. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, being in like the bands that I've been in, and like, I have an endorsement with Pasty Cymbals.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I mean, I still pay for my cymbals, you know?
Right, right.
Like, I don't get free stuff.
Yeah.
So it does, like, make me really amazed that people ask for free stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty... It seems to be rampant, so if you're feeling like you're alone, that does not seem to be the case. Everyone has a story.
I think me and, what's his name? Me and Brian from Small Sound, Big Sound, like talk about the stuff like this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's just I guess his band practices up here.
Mm-hmm.
So we hang out sometimes and just talk about stuff.
Yeah, you two guys probably have a lot in common as far as making guitar pedals. Neither of you is a guitar is your primary instrument. You probably have a lot in common.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and we're also we've spent like most of the past few years on the road as well.
And we're in. You were in art school, but he was in. I forgot what music school he went to. Berkeley? I don't remember.
I think
now.
So.
Yeah, yeah, he told me. I'm a terrible person. Anyway, so yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, you're terrible,
I didn't draw those parallels until just now. Like, I knew you guys talked occasionally, but it was like those guys are really cut from similar cloth over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We chat, and we also send each other annoying text messages all the time.
Oh, that's the best kind of relationship to have.
Yeah.
I don't have a relationship like that with anybody. I never get annoying texts from anyone, Ryan McCaffrey.
Oh yeah, he makes some cool stuff.
Yeah, he's a nut, and yeah,
is he your buddy?
Through this, like, we became like, even though we've never met in person, that doesn't stop us from sharing our really dumb sense of humor, like, on a very regular basis.
And yeah, that's what me and Brian do.
Right. Right. So, like, we were actually gonna go to NAMM together, but now doesn't sound like he's gonna be able to go down. But I'm still going, but it doesn't sound like he's gonna be able to go down. So we still will maintain our long distance buffoonery.
So you're going to NAMM for, what is it, in January?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's like next month.
I know. It's crazy. I can't even, like, it's going to be here before I know it. And I'm not even like mentally prepared, I don't think.
Man, I was thinking about, going because there's this like little, I don't want to say a little, but there's a magazine out here called The Deli, and they do like their own booth over there with like a handful of builders and stuff, and they like have little like amp simulators and stuff that you can listen to pedals through, and he offers like a really good package deal and whatever. And I did that this summer at our local music shop here called Main Drag Music,
which is
an awesome music store. I don't know if you've ever had the chance of coming out here and looking there, but it's something I take for granted all the time, where like they have such a cool collection of gear and stuff.
I've heard of Main Drag for years. I always wanted to check it out if I ever get over there.
Yeah, if you ever get over here, check it out. But they had a little like Stompbox exhibit there this summer, and that's where I got to meet like Brian and like Seth from Old Blood Noise and Adrian from Red Panda and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a really, really cool experience.
Those guys are all doing really interesting things too. That's nice.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good mix, I think.
For sure. That just ticked a light bulb in my brain. That's something I was going to ask you about, because I was thinking about the Old Blood Noise stuff, and they've got a lot of, you know, weird kind of ambient sounding pedals.
Yeah, yeah.
All your stuff is fuzz right now, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're a man after my own heart. But second of all, are you thinking about branching out into like doing some delays, reverbs, modulation, anything like that?
At that like Stompbox thing in the summer, I had like a prototype of it's like an echo reverb that I've been working on for a little while.
Cool.
And it's one pedal, but it has like lo-fi echo going into a reverb, and you can turn either of them on or off. I just like last week finished like designing the final circuit board for it.
Nice.
So I think I should, like, I think I might introduce that, like, around after NAMM or something.
Cool.
Just have to make sure it works right.
Yeah, that is a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. You know?
Make sure it functions.
Yeah, I don't want to say that I'm, like, sick of that pedal because I've been working on it for so long, but I guess I'm just sick of looking at that circuit for so long.
Gotcha.
As like, a schematic, I guess.
Yeah, I can understand.
But I do want to get into the whole spin FE1, like, digital delay and reverb and all that stuff.
So is this the one, well, I guess I just kind of assumed it was digital. Is this an analog pedal that you're talking about?
No, it's digital, but, like, in terms of, like, delay and reverb for the DIY pedal builder, it's like you have the PT2399
yes
delay chip, and then for reverb you have, like, the belt and brick.
Okay, all right.
Chip, which is, like, you know, just an easy way to throw a spring sounding reverb into something.
Right. Okay, I'm following you. I'm yeah. familiar with those.
And so with those, I thought they were, like, pretty much done to death. So I wanted to do something cool, and then Caroline Guitar made, like, the Meteor.
Mm-hmm.
Meteor.
Meteor, yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh man, that's, like, exactly what I wanted to do with the belt and brick.
Right, right.
And he did it. So I was like, all right, I'll just do something else.
Right.
So yeah, I am psyched on, like, the pedal that I've made, but I do want to make it like what's already out there, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you. No, yeah. If you can't do it, like, different, there's not really any reason to do it.
Yeah.
I get that 100%.
But I guess I was just, like, really intimidated by the like, super digital pedals where you have to, like, write your own code and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, I'm psyched to sort of dive into that world.
With your background in those complicated art installations, I imagine you probably have the brain power to sort through that.
I think so. I think what I want to do is, like, implement cool stuff like selectable pitch and, like, incorporating that with, like, distortion and stuff instead of,
right,
like, just making another delay pedal or something.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. I have this delay pedal idea in my head, but I have no idea how to make anything, so that,
okay,
that kind of is no good.
You want to give it up?
I'll tell you about it. I'll tell you about it off the air. Oh,
okay.
That's right. I just did that. Sorry, guys. Maybe you can find out about it later. Or maybe it'll already have materialized by the time this episode drops, like magic.
Yeah, I can work around the clock like that if I have to.
Yeah, it'll be a few weeks. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if what I'm thinking of has been done before. But
yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Like, I feel bad. Like, I'm saying that, like, the 2399 and the belt and brick are, like, stupid. It's just, like, because a lot of people have done so many cool things with them. It's just, like, you know, it's really hard to come up with a really neat idea with them.
Right.
But, like,
right,
Death by Audio, their reverberation machine is, like, one of my favorite reverbs with that thing in it.
The belt and brick.
Yeah, have you messed with that one?
I have not. No, I've only messed
so
with their
cool.
their fuzzes and stuff. So
they use these like certain op amps in their in that circuit that, like, really create this, like, saturated, kind of, like, mushy, grainy, like, distortion that goes
mm-hmm.
into the reverb, and it's like the perfect mash of sounds in there.
That sounds really cool. That
yeah.
sounds like something I'd be super interested in.
Yeah.
Because I mean, don't get me wrong, like, pristine delay has its place in things, and reverb also. But that's not generally what I lean towards as a player. I usually like really gritty repeats and just not, you know.
Yeah,
that's,
me too.
That's what I like. And I kind of like that with reverb too, to a lesser extent. But I love, like, lo-fi delays and things. So,
Yeah. I have this like reverb I made from it's like an old like Hammond organ that had this like reverb unit in it.
Okay.
And it was like it had this little tube amp that would drive the reverb. And so I bought that on eBay for super cheap, and I had this like really cool reverb tank, and I had this really cool like tube amp. So I converted the tube amp into like pretty much a clone of like the Dr. Z Karman Ghia.
Okay.
It's like a little like 18 watt amp.
Nice.
EL84 based, which is really, it was cool. It was like super easy to do and it sounded really great. And then I had the reverb tank left over. So I made like, went online and like found some circuit and like threw it in there, and it makes this like super cool, like lo-fi, like sounds like everything's like about to fall apart reverb.
That sounds really, really up my alley. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll have to send you a video of it.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I use it like in my girlfriend and I have like a little studio in our apartment, and like we record and stuff there and use it like on lots of cool stuff.
Nice. Nice. What's that like? So this, I've never lived in an apartment.
Yeah. You have a house?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's I got a house, and fortunate I was able to, before my wife murdered me, I was able to build a separate outbuilding to hold my unhealthy gear obsession.
And, hey, that's good, man. That's good.
Anyway, I forgot where I was going with that. The living in an apartment and recording. I was just like really curious about how that works, because I have problems, you know, just trying to do it in my house. So imagine neighbors liking that.
It's tough. For a long time, actually, the way I met my girlfriend was in the old apartment I was living in. She was living above me, and we kind of just like bonked in the hallway. Like I ran into her in the hallway,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we met. But she like would hear me playing guitar and stuff. So in my old apartment, it was horrible. Like you could like be in the kitchen like making a juice and someone would hear you like three flights up, you know?
Right.
So
wow.
Yeah, it's definitely it can suck. And then like the new apartment that we live in now just has like, I guess, really good walls.
Mm-hmm.
And like we just do a lot of like low volume stuff.
Do you do like a lot of direct in type of things?
No. We like amp everything in like a little like Fender Blues Junior that we have.
Nice.
But like we have it in a closet with like a bazillion like clothes and towels and stuff in there. So that kind of helps. But I mean, the neighbors still yell at us.
Oh yeah, you get your wrist slapped every once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while, you know, when we like really push it to that overdriven limit.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You thought about like maybe an ISO booth or something, like a small cabinet you could mic up, you know?
I've thought about it, but it's like if we really want to do like good recording, like my friend, I was telling you about this off the air. I have a friend who has a studio like a few blocks over.
Oh, right. That's right.
And he has like a super awesome studio space that he just made that's like totally isolated. Super quiet, and it has a view of Manhattan.
That was a beautiful shot. I was like, ooh, that's...
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, we were recording it the other day, and I'm just, like, looking outside. I was like, wow, this is unreal, man. Where am I right now?
Yeah, that was awesome. Does he use that studio for, like, does he rent it out, and that's what he does, or is it just, like...
Yeah, he owns that studio and he records there, and he also rents it out for video production stuff and all sorts of different stuff. And he does sound like on location.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. The name of the studio is Braund Studios, Braund.
Okay.
And they did a whole like live series of videos with artists like, Speaking of Death by Audio, like A Place to Bury Strangers.
Oh, okay.
Did a really cool like live video there where they had like eight projectors doing all this crazy stuff.
Very nice. Do you have a website?
Yeah, I think it's just bronzestudios.com.
All right. I'll have to stick that in the show notes.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah, because that was a super... You sent me that shot, and I was just like, oh, man. Like, that would be, like, a really inspiring place to work, just to write.
Oh, yeah. And it's so cool, because that was, like, his dream studio that he's been wanting to build for, like, over 5 years, and he finally, like, just got around to doing it, nice. Which is awesome. I was, like, super proud of him.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
I love it when a plan comes together like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting down to the hour mark. So there's one more thing. Well, we already kind of talked about it. Do you have anything else coming down the pipe other than the Echo Verb?
Yeah, I was working on like I was saying, like the pitch distortion thing. I was going to do, I guess it's kind of like, I don't know if it should be secret or not, but it's like, I'm good friends with a band, Blood Red Shoes from the UK. Have you heard of them?
I have not.
Okay. My girlfriend and I have this friend, John Agnello, who's like this old producer dude, and he's like, knows everybody. And it's like, anytime I'm on the road, I'll like meet a band and I'll be like, oh, you know, John Agnello. And it's like my way of meeting people. Like, I think that's how I met Brian, because his band had worked with John as well.
Okay.
But anyways, they want to do, like a collaboration with me, and their like record label they have called Jazz Life.
Okay.
Because Laura from Blood Red Shoes, her main guitar tone is like like sub octave of her guitar with like overdrive.
Gotcha. Cool.
So she wants to make like a pedal with that as her like signature sound.
Very nice. How is she doing that now, unless she doesn't want
now,
to
tell? Now, I'm not going to say much, but she has, I think she has a really, really old micro synth, Electro-Harmonix.
Right.
And that's giving her the sub-octave and like a little bit of square wave. And then I think she's going into some boutique overdrive.
Nice. Nice. Well, that'll be a fun project. I look forward to seeing that. That'll be sick.
Yeah, that'll be really cool.
Nice.
I think this is the first time I told anybody about that.
Oh, well, I'm honored.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know if you're into like the radio, but like at Radio 1 in like the UK, they have like this whole thing. It's like, bam, 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 you hear it first, bam, bam, world premiere. That sort of thing. So that's where you have to cue in, like when I say, oh, this is the first time I've heard of it.
There we go. All right. I think I can make that happen.
I'll send you some reference material.
Thank you very much. I'm totally gonna do that. That's funny. Oh man, that's totally fantastic. All right, man. Well, we're sitting right at that hour mark right now. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug right now? This is your time to do it. Website, social media, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm Tomcat Pedals on Instagram. That's about it. I don't really do much other social media.
That's with a K, right?
Yeah, Tomkat.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And then TomcatPedals.com and...
Yep, tomcatpedals.com, and yep, that's about it.
That'll be in the show notes, and then I'll also go ahead and stick your phone number in there so everyone can call you and at all hours of the day. Does that sound good?
Yeah, and like me and my cat will be here and doing whatever.
Yeah, that sounds good. His cat wants to talk to you, so you guys should all call him.
Yeah, he works for me, so.
Oh, he works for you. He's got to do what you say, right?
Yeah.
What's your cat's name? Let's finish out with that.
My cat's name is Horowitz.
Horowitz, I like that.
Yeah, and he freaks out anytime I use my printer. You think like the world was like stopping, and he had no idea what the hell was going on. So whenever I like print out all my postage and stuff, he's like right there next to me, like looking over everything I'm doing, and I thought it was the funniest thing. So I like. got these stickers made with like his little paw print on them. And I put them on the pedals when like they're done on the box, and it just says like inspected by Horowitz.
I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah.
So yeah, see, it's like a whole family thing here.
I love it. It's a big, happy, communal, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Right on, man. All right. Well, that was awesome talking to you.
Yeah, man, it was a pleasure talking to you too.
Very good times. I enjoyed it very much, and we'll have to chat again soon.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
All right on, man. All right. So, for Tom, I'm Blake, and as you all regular listeners know, what I'm about to say, good luck and good tones. I'll talk to you later, man.
Later.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that does it for the first episode of 2016. Starting the new year off in a very good way. A very good way. I got lots more in store for you, so do stay tuned. And as always, thank you for listening. And you likely do this already, but if you don't, you should head over to Instagram and follow @thetonemob. Because right now, there's a pretty ridiculous giveaway going on as we speak. And it ends this Friday, January 8th. And what it is we teamed up with Ambient Notes and Creation Music Company. And John over at Creation is giving away $500 towards any pedal board and case right now. So you could build the board of your dreams. Or maybe multiple little boards. Whatever you need. There will be $500 for the winner to decide whatever that dream board may be. So head on over to Instagram, follow @thetonemob, and get involved in this contest. It ends Friday, January 8th. Don't delay. Enter today. That was really dumb. Anyway, I'm super stoked for 2016. I got some seriously big things in store, and I can't wait to share them with you guys. You're gearheads. You're going to like it. And it's super exciting. So, as per usual, have yourself a good week. I'll talk to you next time.
One last thing before we totally sign off here. I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously, seriously, seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things, and by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.